Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Ken Nash, joining you here on this Friday to talk a little bit more about some player evaluations, more player evaluations coming your way. Thursday's episode, we talked about Tanner Caro, Justin Dowling, Rhett Gardner. Today, we're going to talk about Joel Esperance, Nick Camano, and Ty Dellandrea, probably in that order. We're going to have more of these to come. We've got about five more episodes of these to come. The plan of right now is for these to be the next five episodes next week. And then we'll finish things off. Like I said, I'm going to be out of town over the next week, really out of commission for really the next week and a half or so. So pre-recording a lot of these episodes. So if something breaks and you don't hear from me quickly, that's why. It's not because I'm not paying attention. But we are pre-recording some stuff and may have some, we're going to do these and may have some different things coming your way as well later next week and maybe the week after. Today's episode brought to you by Locker Room. This episode brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On Locker Rooms. We host one for Locked On Dallas Stars. Locker Room, changing the way that we talk sports. So talking more about depth forwards, I wanted to do these two episodes back to back because I think these six guys fall in roughly a similar category, to varying degrees, but roughly a similar category of trying to fill a depth spot on this Dallas Stars forward lineup. Obviously, we talked about those three yesterday in Dowling, Caro, and Rhett Gardner. Today, we'll talk about Joel Esperance, Nick Camano, and Ty Dellandrea. These three didn't finish the season on the Dallas Stars roster, interestingly enough. Camano and Esperance on the taxi squad officially, and Ty Dellandrea finished the season in the AHL, so unlike the other three that we talked about yesterday. But I want to talk about them because they fall in a similar category, like I said, of being depth forwards competing for maybe three or four spots on the Stars roster, a couple of those in the lineup, a couple of those as kind of those next men up going into next year. We start with Joel Esperance, 25-year-old, soon to be 26-year-old for the Dallas Stars. Signed with the Dallas Stars, made his Texas Stars debut back in 2017-18 after playing at Michigan Tech, finished at Michigan Tech in 2017-18. Before going to the Texas Stars full-time in 2018-19. His first full season with the Texas Stars in the AHL, he put up 44 points across 50 games, 29 goals, 15 assists, was a +2. And then 2019-20, 40 points across 58 games, 25 goals and 15 assists, a -6. He's played in parts of three seasons with the Dallas Stars, played 18 games back in 2018-19 as a 23-year-old, picked up a couple of goals that season. Last year, played just three games, had one goal across three games. And then this past year, only played in 12 games, a couple of goals across 12 games. Esperance is an interesting one compared to these other guys because of the guys we've talked about Dowling, who's more of just a depth minutes eater kind of forward. You talked about Gardner, who's kind of a big bodied kind of forward, and then we talked about Caro, who's got a little bit of a creative upside to him. Esperance is maybe the best goal scorer, or at least the most goal-scoring inclined out of this group as it stands right now. Five NHL goals, those are all five of his NHL points across 33 games. Not necessarily a high production rate by any means, but you look at what he did in the AHL, you look at what he did in college, and he really was able to produce goals even at a rate higher than what he was doing assist-wise. I think that carries value. You look at what he did this year. Obviously, very, very small sample size. He was kind of shuffled out a little bit more and missed out more than some of the guys around him did this past season, which was a little bit, surprising because I think coming into the year, he was a guy that kind of I would have thought had some of the inside track to get some extra minutes. But obviously, limited time, limited production. And when we're evaluating these guys, it's hard to really evaluate them because expectations shifted so much based off of what they were able to do this year beyond expectations. So it's hard to kind of evaluate, and with such a small sample size, you don't want to make any wholesale determinations about these guys. I'll say this about Esperance and all of these guys, it's going to be really kind of centered on what they could bring next year because they're all younger for the most part. Esperance will just be 26, fairly young in his NHL career. So what could they bring for the Stars in the future? And how do we see a role developing potentially for them down the road. Obviously, Les Brown's a fairly big guy, 6'2", 210, plays on the wing, goal scorer. That, you know, that's kind of his MO. Now, obviously, the goals have not been plentiful necessarily at the NHL level, but I think overall, a bit of a goal scorer is kind of the MO that you want from him. He is under contract for next season. With the Dallas Stars, so he's got a little bit of an inside track there on being with the team next year, kind of similar to the one we talked about with Tanner Caro yesterday, where these two guys have a little bit of a benefit compared to maybe a Dowling on being with the team next year because they are under contract for next season. He'd be an RFA in 22-23, so there's potential that he could be with the Stars for a few years if they decide to keep him. Because he's under contract, I think that he will have a part to play. Now, what that part is, I don't know. If we have a taxi squad similar situation next year, he would probably be a strong candidate for that. If not, you know, is he an AHL guy next year? Is he one of the first guys off the bench at the NHL level? I think that's probably the ideal situation for him next year. I think there's still some more development to be seen, kind of like with what we saw with Rhett Gardner. Just a little bit more development that needs to happen to really start to apply his trade at the top level in the NHL. And I think, you know, I think if you're talking about him as even, you know, one of your first guys off the bench, I think you're fairly satisfied with that, especially if you can stay healthy, and that's the key, right? The problem with the Stars is not that their depth was really that bad. It's that their depth then became their starters, and that's, you know, and for long periods of time, and that's where there's an issue. I think if you know, they can get to a situation where he's back to being a depth guy and maybe only plays in, you know, 10, 15 games across an 82-game schedule, you know, fills in on back-to-backs maybe, or healthy, you know, if somebody needs a day off, or maybe somebody picks up a slight injury, then you're probably more comfortable with him having that kind of role on the team next year. I think he will have a part to play. How big, I'm not sure. You know, I think if the Stars want to be a contender, I don't necessarily think that having a guy like Joel Lesperance as a regular part of your lineup is a part of that formula. So, you know, I think it would be depth and fill in as needed, and maybe get some more seasoning in the AHL. And part of it's going to depend on if they bring up guys from the AHL, and you know, we'll talk about those guys later down the road, but if they bring up some guys from the AHL that had good years, then maybe they need some more bodies with the Texas Stars. We'll have to see. Let's step aside real quick. When we come back, we'll talk about Nick Camano, and then we'll talk about Ty DeLandry and finish up this episode here on Friday. Before we do, I want to talk to you about Wealthfront. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds aren't in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They've got the right tools for every portfolio. They can create a portfolio that's globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every single day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences that you control. Wealthfront's trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WealthFront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL to get started today. All right, let's dive into Nick Camano as we continue our player evaluations for the season. We talked about Joel Lesperance. Now we'll jump over to another depth forward in Nick Camano, another younger guy, not a ton of NHL experience to speak of so far. Played a somewhat of a role this year for the Stars, but once again was kind of limited. He only played in 24 games for Dallas, had an assist, 1 point, was a -7, skated just 9 minutes, 21 seconds a night. Camano will be 23 at the start of next season or around the start of next season. Fifth round pick of the Stars back in 2016. Camano's one, and he'll be a little bit shorter because I'll frame it like this. Small sample size, obviously played in 24 games this year. I think there's talent there with Camano. I think he's very much not quite ready for the NHL level. You know, he played, made his Texas Stars debut back in 2016-17, played 6 games for him, played 73 with the Texas Stars in 2018-19, then 36 in 2019-20. He's got 36 NHL games under his belt, but he's not really skating. You know, he skated under 10 minutes each year. He skated about 9.5 minutes a night in each of those seasons. I think he's a guy who needs a lot more seasoning. He's still just 22, almost 23. quite young by NHL standards. And so he's a guy that I think if you look at what he did this year and the time that he was on the ice, I don't think he was a net negative. His possession metrics aren't fantastic. Below the 50% mark and negatives relative to when he wasn't on the ice. But I think that he was okay. He started a lot of his shifts in the defensive zone, which is a tough place for a young player. But he was, if you look at the expected goals, which is a good evaluation of kind of what could have happened, or maybe should have happened, or expected to happen. He had expected goals for 4.4, expected goals against 2.9. So that's a plus 1.5 goals, expected goals marker this season. So I think he was okay. I think that there was, he's a guy who needs a little bit more seasoning and needs maybe a little bit more of a defined role. And I think that's something that we kind of saw with a lot of these Stars players, these guys at the bottom, is there was just really no defined role for any of these guys because there was so much shuffling going on and there was so much, having to try to adjust and try to put these pieces together that, in a puzzle that didn't really fit, that I think it was tough for a lot of these guys, especially the young guys who don't have a lot of experience. Here they are trying to figure out what their role is and what type of player they are, and they're having to do it on the fly and adopt a different kind of mentality each and every night. So I think that's maybe the one question that I think if you're evaluating his season, maybe you could have seen something a little bit better from him, is if he had a little bit more of a defined role. Still, like I said, still just 22, about to be 23, big body, 6'2", almost 200 pounds, 195. He falls into that. He's an RFA this offseason, so restricted free agent. He's one that I think the Stars will certainly try to come to an agreement with. You look towards next year, I think he's in a similar spot to Les Perrance. Maybe, I think ideally you would have him in the AHL next season. He's kind of an in-betweener. I think he was solid at the AHL level, but I don't know that he's quite at the NHL level. So maybe another year at the AHL where he can skate every night, play bigger minutes, be more impactful, I think would be good for him. So that's kind of what I expect for him. The Stars are going to have to fill some of these depth roles internally. I'm not sure that Camano is the guy to do that. Same with Gardner. I think maybe if they brought back a guy like Justin Dowling, that would make more sense. Or maybe looked at a Les Perrance if needed. I think that would make more sense on the depth side of things than Camano. Just because I don't think you're not doing yourself a service, because I don't know that he's really going to be that impactful right now. I don't think you're doing him a service either, though, because I think you're stunting, a guy that young, especially Camano, who's only 22, a guy that young needs to be playing regularly to continue developing their skill set and their ability. And if they're playing in a depth spot like they would play for the Stars this year, if you translate that into next year and he's playing 30, 35 games, I mean, that's just not really all that helpful for his development in the long-term future. Yeah, it may put a Band-Aid over the problem right now, but I think long-term it's going to create more problems than it's not going to help solve any problems that Dallas may have down the road. So he's a guy that I would expect to probably be more at the AHL level next year. Maybe at the NHL level if he has a really nice offseason and the Stars feel comfortable. But the Stars don't have a ton of holes they're going to try to fill. They're going to mostly run it back. If they bring back a Como or a Cogliano or even both, if they bring back one of those guys, though, and they bring back a Dowling, so to say, that, so they go that route. And even before we talk about guys coming up from the AHL, we're talking about the Stars have maybe one or two starting spots to fill entering the season, and they're going to have not a lot of cap space, but a little bit of cap space to do that with. I don't know that a guy like Camano is the best way to kind of fill that void or solve that issue. So let's step aside one more time. We come back, we'll finish up talking about Ty Dellandrea. In this, we'll kind of finish off our depth forward group, and then we'll look ahead to next week, where we'll continue this kind of player evaluation. We've got Faxa, Kiviranta, and Alexiak set for you Monday. Ben Gurionov Tuesday. Sekera, Hanley, Fadoon on Wednesday. Lindell Haskin on Thursday. And we'll finish things off on Friday with the two rookies, Jason Robertson and Jake Ottinger. We'll get to that right around the corner. Before we do, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. They got 9 delicious flavors, and they've got the occasional limited time flavor they cycle in and out as well. My favorite flavor is the mint brownie. I love the peanut butter brownie, but these bars are great. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, but they're still a protein bar. That's just such a deviation from what we expect when we expect a protein bar. You expect chalky, you expect flavorless, you expect it tasting like you're eating chalk. It's not like that with Built Bar. It tastes like you're eating a candy bar, but it's good for you. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. Some other flavors have 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and just 5 grams of net carbs. 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Finish up today's episode talking about Ty Dellandrea, who, like we finished with Tanner Caro yesterday, and then he was maybe the most intriguing out of that trio of players. Ty Dellandrea is definitely the most intriguing out of this trio of players. 21, about to be 21. Obviously, the first round draft pick of the Stars back in 2018, 13th overall. Phenomenal numbers with the Flint Firebirds in the OHL. Made his NHL debut this season. Played in 26 games for Dallas. Was put up 5 points, 3 goals, 2 assists. Was an even plus minus. Skated just under 12.5 minutes, pardon me, per night for the Stars. Dellandrea came in with maybe it's the most hype out of any of the Stars rookies to enter the season. Once we learned that Thomas Harley was going to be not with the NHL club this year. You know, Jake Ottinger, Jason Robertson, you know, those guys had hype, but I think Dellandrea being a forward and being, you know, the gaudy numbers he had in the OHL, I think that there was a significant amount of hype surrounding him in coming into this season. Obviously was not, you know, not necessarily the A+, you know, 10.0 out of 10 grade that you'd love to see from a rookie forward. But I think that there were times that he definitely looked the part and you saw flashes of what Ty Dellandrea is going to be in the NHL. You look at his numbers, obviously we talked about the numbers with Flint. Back when he was 2017-18, before he was drafted, put up 59 points in 67 games for a very, very bad Flint Firebirds team in 2018-19. At 18, 63 points in 60 games, so another very bad Flint team. And then they kind of turned it around last year, last year, 2019-20, played in 70, or put 70 points in 47 games. His plus minus from in 2017-18 was minus 30. He was a minus 31 in 18-19. He was a minus 1 in 19-20. The Flint team was much, much better. Got him to the World Juniors under 20s, put up 5 points in 7 games for Canada in that. And so there was a lot of hype, and you know, his professional career is extremely, extremely limited. You look at, he played 11 AHL games back in 2018-19 before getting the NHL debut this season. So I think that's something to consider when you evaluate his year, is yes, he's a first-round draft pick. Yes, that he was a guy, you know, he was early enough, 13th overall, that it's not, you know, unfathomable for him to be on the fast track to the NHL, but he's still, you know, he was 20 all season long with 11 professional, you know, non-OHL, you know, kind of, you know, juniors kind of league games under his belt, right? 11 AHL games under his belt before he comes to the NHL. And you know, frankly, takes on a role on a team, a Dallas Stars team that was very much inconsistent this year. I think you saw flashes. He obviously has a high motor, high energy. Definitely was a guy that I think got under the skin of opponents. I think that we probably saw a little bit more of what he probably is at the NHL level, which is a kind of a two-way kind of a checking forward with a little bit of offensive upside and offensive ability, I think is where you kind of see him. If he can slot into that kind of role, I think that would be a really big plus for this Dallas Stars team. He's a good leadership presence. We talked about the leadership roles he had with Flint when he was with the OHL. So I think he's certainly a guy that's going to have a bright future with Dallas. Will he ever be, you know, one of the top, you know, 2 or 3 scorers on a Dallas Stars team? Unlikely. I think that we've learned more about him over the past couple of years, those numbers were very much products of the team he played on and the teams he was playing against. I think, though, he has some offensive ability, he has some creativity, he has a knack for getting into, you know, dangerous areas, and he plays aggressive, and I think when players play aggressive and they have a little bit of that talent, I think that usually means that they're going to have a chance to put up some point production throughout their career. Dellandrea is obviously under contract for the next 2 seasons. He's one that's interesting, and when you look towards next year, I think in an ideal world, he's got a regular spot with the Stars. And I talked about some of the other guys maybe needing a little bit more seasoning in the AHL. Dellandrea is on that fringe of I think that he could probably benefit from a full season in the AHL or half season in the AHL. But at the same time, you look at the upside, and you're going through this other list of guys that are internal options to fill out those bottom 6 roles. And I think you look at Dellandrea and go, okay, maybe this guy, you know, this guy's got a better ceiling. While maybe, yes, he would benefit, he's a guy that I think if you're having to pick, you know, one of the, a Gardner, a L'Esperance, a Camano, a Dellandrea, or even a Caro, one of those kind of five guys to play every you know, almost every night next year, I think you're looking at Dellandrea as the most plausible option with the best upside, the best tools, the best fit for this Dallas Stars team. Possession metrics weren't horrible this year, not especially for a first-year player. He started a ton of shifts in the defensive zone. Almost 58.5% of his shifts started in the defensive zone. Another thing we talked about, very, very tough situation for a young player to be in. Expected goals, he was a minus 0.4 on expected goals, but with limited time on the ice, you know, that's a really small sample size. I've talked about it. I would be really interested to see if the Stars do keep him next year, where do they deploy him, as a center or as a right winger? We saw him play a little bit of both this year. We saw him kind of flex in different spots. Do they play him as a center or right winger? I would think as a winger. I'm really interested in, and I don't know if this is just wishful thinking on my end. It may not even be something that's really all that plausible, but when I look at the top six of Pavelski, Hintz, Robertson, and then probably that third line of let's say, Ben, Radulov, Sagan for right now, I would be interested in seeing What a Dellandrea next year alongside a Radek Foxa, and then maybe bringing back a Cogliano, what that line would look like. Would that be something that that could you know, impress and make a difference? The other option is maybe as a center between Joel Kiviranta and Denis Gurianov. I would be really interested to see, you know, how they deploy him next year. I think he's ready. I mean, I think at the very least, after a full offseason, normal offseason, after having some NHL experience under his belt now, I think he could be deployable as a bottom six forward. And I think you like your odds of, by the end of the season, him being a pretty decent depth contributor on this Dallas Stars team. Out of all the six we've talked about, he's the most comfortable. I think there's a viable path for him to be in the lineup almost every night next year, which is a big, big plus. And I think he's got the most viable path to that lineup going into next year. So that's good all for this episode. We'll be back Monday to talk about more player evaluations. We'll get back into some more of the top-end guys next week before we finish off this this list. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, at LockedOnStars. You can follow my personal account as well, at Kenneth_Nash19. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast, so we show up in your feed every single day. That's going to be all for this one, though. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back Monday. But until then, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.